Well, I think prisoners are one of the groups in society that are amongst the most despised groups in society, and individuals vilify them and have lots of stigma, and people have very negative images and tend to group all prisoners into the one category. And I think central to the gospel is a concern for all marginalized people. And one of the particular groups that are mentioned in the gospel, and people have been mindful of the scene from the Last Judgment, where the Lord says at the last day, I was in prison and you visited me. So there's a challenge for Christians to be mindful, particularly of vulnerable groups and even despised groups in society, and to be mindful of our responsibility towards such people. And particularly in the case of imprisonment, it's no good for us just to kind of put away to the hinterland of our minds the treatment of prisoners and the conditions which they live through, because the imprisonment of people in our society is done in our name. If it was done to prisoners, was done in any other situation, we'd be calling it kidnapping. I mean, you're talking about taking away the liberty of people in our name. So there's a responsibility to be mindful of perhaps the role of prison in society, but also the conditions and then who we're imprisoning. So I think the church is calling us to be mindful of this element that sin and crime is a reality in society, but that there's an appropriate response to it as well that has to minimize that we don't add to the violence and to the harm being caused.
I suppose, you know, there certainly is crime in society at the moment, and we see it every day in the headlines in the paper. And can you understand people who would say, I don't see why I should have anything to do with them? They're just causing the problems, put them into prison, throw away the key, and let me get on with my life.
I think, yes, we get a lot of coverage of crime in the media, and people have experience of crime in their lives. But there's a distinction to be made, I think, between the really serious, gruesome crimes that tend to feature in the headlines, and the vast majority of crimes and people's experience of crime is much more of the kind of, that can be quite annoying crime, like property crime or burglaries or having things stolen. And we have to then question if our response tends to be almost the same, if we're sending as many people to prison for traffic offences and property crime as we're sending for murder, or at any one time there are many murderers as there are people in for those kind of crimes, we have to kind of wonder, well, is it working? I think that's, and is it fair and just is another question at the principal end. But I think coming at it from the just purely pragmatic angle, we've got to ask, are our prisons working? And the reality is that they're not. That you have people in and out for very short sentences, and they're repeat offenders. And the reason why in so many cases is that their lives outside the prison is actually a prison as well. They're trapped and imprisoned in poverty. They're imprisoned in addiction. They're imprisoned often in the legacy of childhood abuse and childhood neglect. And I don't think it's responsible for us to kind of wash our hands by just saying we need more prison or we need longer sentences, because we really need to be looking at what we hope prison can and cannot do. And I think we're asking it to do something that it can't do at the moment, which is rehabilitate people who are very needy and vulnerable because of their life stories and life circumstances. And something new is called for.
And that is what?
Well, I think one of the inspirational models that has taken off around the world, in England and America and New Zealand and Australia, is what they call restorative justice, where for quite a number of crimes, the attempt here is to try and get the offender and the victim of the crime together, and get the offender to listen to the story of the victim and the impact that the actions of the offender have had in their lives. So, you know, what the fact that I woke up in the morning and my car was stolen, and all the consequences that that had, so that the offender begins to take some cognizance and some account of the impact of his actions. At the moment, they go to court, go to prison, and they don't really have to deal with the consequences for the victim.
Tony, can you not understand, though, that if somebody came in and stole my car in the morning and I can't get to work, or say the kids can't get to school, or whatever, or you're a person in an isolated rural area, I mean, it'd be like really to take a very special person to be able to say, OK, I'm going to sit down with whoever took my car and persuade them that really what they did has caused me a lot of problems and they shouldn't do it again.
Well, it might seem like that, but again, the international experience of this type of justice seems to be, in fact, that people who are victims of crime, there's two things they seem to require. One is to be acknowledged that they have been really injured and harmed and put out by the crime. And there's no better way than confronting the person who has caused the harm to say, listen, do you know what you've done? And to have that acknowledged. And the victims tend to be treated with a bit more respect in this process than they do in the traditional system, because they're very marginalized in a court process. The second thing, I think people have questions about, why was it my car, or why was it me that was picked out? And they want to come face to face with the person who has committed the crime. And so people actually, partly because they have their own issues, and the crime is often, it leaves them with kind of questions and psychological issues, and meeting the person who has committed the crime against them in the presence of mediators and whatever, so it's a safe environment, can actually be very cathartic and healing. And they can also begin to listen to the life story of the offender. And a lot of people who have gone through the process actually say, well, God, I didn't realize our education system wasn't catering for people like you, or I didn't realize that if you were an addict and you were trying to break free of drug addiction, that the services in this country were as appalling as they are. So there's a kind of it's a very Christian notion where the crime is, which is a bad thing and has caused harm, rather than create further harm by just punishing the person in a cruel sort of way, you try to bring the people together and bring healing and bring something good out of it, so that often the victim of crime leaves the room kind of saying, well, I feel a little bit more respected by the process. I can now move on, and I'm hoping that the person has learned something, that they won't commit further crimes. It seems like a far more sensible way than what we're doing at the moment, by just sending people to very violent, in lots of cases, very old, dirty prisons where they are damaged further. They learn new tricks and they come out and they reoffend, and we don't try to break the cycle of offending. It seems to me a ridiculous system, and we really do need to try something new. And I think restorative justice offers that potential.